Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to be talking about the gospel coming to Antioch of Pisidia. The text is Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 52. And you'll want to be turning there if you have your Bibles and you can follow along. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lesson we're looking at today was written for the Sunday schools of July the 12th, 1925, by E. A. Elam. Now here is the text, Acts 13, beginning in verse 42. "And as they went out, they besought that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath almost the whole city was gathered to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing ye thrust it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee for a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the uttermost part of the earth. And as the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spread abroad throughout all the region. But the Jews urged upon the devout women of honorable estate and the chief men of the city, and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and cast them out of their borders. But they shook the dust off their feet against them, and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 4. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples." The devotional reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. That is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. "But there shall be no gloom in her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into the contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he hath made it glorious by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased their joy. Their joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed men in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood, shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts shall perform this. Let us turn to the geographical notes, and we note several places that are mentioned in the book of Acts. Pamphylia was a province of Asia Minor, west of Cilicia, and Perga was a town of Pamphylia, and a seaport. Perga was about 40 miles north of Cyprus. Pisidia was another province of Asia Minor, and joined Pamphylia to the north. The Antioch of this lesson was in Pisidia. It was about 120 miles north from Perga. It was an important city on the road which connects Syria and the east with Greece and Rome. It was one of the many Antiochs built by Seleucus Nicator and named for his father Antiochus. It was called Antioch of Pisidia to distinguish it from Antioch of Syria, from which Paul and Barnabas went as missionaries. Here's some helps and hints for the teacher about Paul and Barnabas' further journey. From Paphos on the Isle of Cyprus, Paul and his company sailed northwest to Perga. Paul had doubtless preached already in Cilicia, hence the brethren and churches there. He and Barnabas on this tour went first to Barnabas' native island, and now they go to provinces just west and north of Cilicia. We cannot fail to see the systematic effort to evangelize these countries. From Perga, Mark returned to Jerusalem. For what reason, Luke does not here state, but his departure was not satisfactory to Paul, and caused he and Barnabas to separate later. We read about that separation in Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. Mark went with Barnabas on a second journey to Cyprus, and finally restated himself in Paul's favor, becoming a comfort and a prophet unto him. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. They did not tarry long or preach at this time at Perga. They preached there on their return, Acts 14:25. From Perga they went north to Antioch in Pisidia. The road which they traveled led through mountains and was infested with robbers. It may be that Paul refers to this journey in enumerating the many dangers and perils through which he passed in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. Paul and Barnabas went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue extended to them an invitation to speak, which Paul at once accepted. And so we read in Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Now Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia, and when they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand. In verses 16 through 41, we have the first recorded speech of the Apostle Paul, and he had made many before this, and so we read that speech in an earlier program quite carefully. But now let's look at the effect of Paul's speech. We begin in Acts chapter 13, verses 42 and 43. Now when they went out, they besought that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Paul's speech had a wonderful effect upon his hearers, Compare this speech with that of Peter on Pentecost and that of Stephen before the council in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 7. It says, "And as they went out, they besought that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. And now when the synagogue was broken up, many of the Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, and they did that in order to learn more about Jesus, and probably to yield obedience to him." It mentions the proselytes. They were the Gentiles who had accepted the religion of the Jews. Paul and Barnabas urged them to continue in the grace of God, which means to continue to do God's will. And this shows that they had accepted the truth. We read in verse 44, "And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God." We may well suppose that Paul and Barnabas were not idle during the week. Paul's sermon on the previous Sabbath, and he and Barnabas' work during the week, and with great interest which all of this had stirred up, brought almost the whole city together to hear the word of God on the next Sabbath day. This was not the day on which Christians met to worship God. That was the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16:2. But it was Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, on which they met in their synagogues to read the law and the prophets and to worship God. Paul and Barnabas met with them on these occasions as opportunities to preach the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed." The multitudes were the Gentiles. Well, this was a Gentile city with a synagogue of the Jews in it, and the Jews, as usual, were filled with jealousy when they saw so many Gentiles crowding around these new teachers. Through envy, the Jews had crucified Jesus, Matthew 27 and verse 18, that Jesus should be preached as the Savior of the Gentiles as well as the Jews, and that the Gentiles could accept Christ and be saved without first becoming Jews, always disturbed the Jews. They contradicted or denied the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed by speaking evil and contemptuous words against the Son of God and against his servants and against this gospel that they were hearing. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46 we read, "And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing ye thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." This contradiction and blasphemy strengthened the courage of the apostles and emboldened them in receiving the Gentiles. "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken unto you," they said. It was necessary to preach first to the Jews, because that was God's will. The Jews were best prepared to receive Christ. At least they should have been. And the most successful way to reach the Gentiles was through the Jews living among them. The apostles not only began at Jerusalem, but the order was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, as is repeated several times in the New Testament. These Jews judged themselves unworthy of eternal life by rejecting the gospel. Those who reject the gospel do the same to themselves today. Everyone is his own judge in this respect and fixes his own destiny whenever he decides to accept or to reject the truth. God had sent Paul and Barnabas to the Gentiles, and now, instead of engaging in useless discussion with these self-willed Jews, they turned, as was their custom, to the Gentiles. This comes a time in the life of all people when they make a final rejection or acceptation of the truth. And two, we now see that people willfully reject the gospel. It's necessary to turn to others.